Amen, amen, amen. Well, that's good. That's good testimonies. Thank you, everybody, for sharing those testimonies and stuff. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Father God, for everyone that came, Lord. Thank you very much for everyone here. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you just descend and send your Holy Spirit down and angels, Father God, to minister to those that are in trial tonight, Father God, to those that are in need, to those that are in fear, to those that are in oppression, to those that have worries and concerns. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have an amazing teaching tonight by a woman named Joanna Reardon. She is an amazing, she wrote an article for ChristianBibleStudies.com, and it touched me and moved me so deeply that I read it, and I just wanted to share. I mean, her whole article basically turned into a Bible study tonight. So I really think that a lot of people that are looking, a lot of people that came tonight to receive something, a lot of people that, you know, are living in fear, I think this is a really, really good Bible study for you. I think this is going to touch you. It's called Scared Senseless. That's the name of the Bible study.
Perfect.
Because I think that is exactly,
yeah.
I think that's exactly where a lot of us are. You know, 2013 has been just an strange year, demonically, spiritually. Just the attacks, everyone in the care group, church, and things of that nature have been under. It's just the weirdest things, from false accusations to strokes to heart attacks to all this strange demonic junk, just, you know, Satan throws your way. You know, it causes fear. I mean, you actually live in fear. You begin to, you know, gain weight, lose weight, even get on meds. I mean, we have the entire nation on antidepressants right now because of fear. You know, my 9-year-old son is afraid of being alone in the dark. He fears the dining room when the lights are off, and he cannot even go into a dark room. Too many late night movies where he has saw something scary have caused this image where he, every night we have to pray for him during altar. You know, every single night we pray for him that he loses his fear so he can go to sleep. It's just excruciatingly. And it just really, really bugs me because his days are fun, and then it gets to where he's not happy to go to bed because he knows he's scared. And, you know, we know those fears are ridiculous. And every night when we have family altar, we lead worship, and all of my kids get to sing a song, and then we have a short little Bible study, and then we have prayer every single night. And praying with my son every night at family altar made me wonder what our fears that we feel, you know, seem to God. What does God think about our fears? Are our fears just as silly, you know, to him? Does he take into account our immaturity just as I do with my son when I hear all that foolish blabber about stuff? I mean, I had to literally find YouTube videos to show him how they made the makeup on some of these scenes so that he would not be fearful. But still he was fearful. But does the Lord take into account our immaturity? Such fears remind me of Leviticus chapter 26, verse 36. You will live in such fear that the sound of a leaf driven by the wind will send you fleeing. You will run as though fleeing from a sword, and you will fall even when no one pursues you. Fear is a universal human emotion, and there's no one that knows fear better than King David. Can you imagine all the things King David did to impress Saul? All these strange anointings and powers that he had when he was in King Saul's camp. I'm not talking about just playing harp. I'm not talking about just making King Saul's headaches go away. I'm actually talking about all the wonderful things he was doing for King Saul. And then that glorious day came, you know, when 12, 13 people would go and face this huge, enormous guy out in the middle of the desert, and they would never come back. See, back in those days, it was actually a lot more civilized than it is today. The armies would come against each other in the middle of the desert, and they would set up camp and tents and fires. And they would have scribes that would go back and forth and communicate amongst the kings. And to keep the men appeased during the day, there would oftentimes be battles. And they would send their best warrior to the front. You know, try to beat this guy. So I can imagine, you know, Saul laughing when King David says, you know what, I will go out there. I will go out there and take on this Goliath. Prideful. He was so prideful, and he was so anointed by God. But yet, down the years, down the road, he began to learn fear better than anyone. And tonight we're going to delve into the subject of fear, and we're going to learn about what really drives fear, what causes fear. Let's go to Psalms chapter 55, verses 4 and 6. Psalms chapter 55, verses 4 and 6. The next one is 55, 16 through 18.
How come me and Bebe never got one at the pass out?
Do you guys not have Bibles? I'm so sorry.
Psalm what?
Psalms 55, verses 4 through 6. I thought Bebe would be digital. Here you go. Here's a good... Here, give her the teen Bible.
Okay.
There you go. Who's got Psalms 55, verses 4 through 6? Okay, go ahead, honey.
My heart shuddered within me. Terrors of death sweep over me. Fear and trembling grip me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, if only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and find rest.
Amen. My heart pounds in my chest. This is David. Can you imagine being pursued by an army that wanted to kill you? My heart pounds in my chest. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. Have you ever felt that way at times?
Yes.
Fear so palpable that affected you physically and you wanted to simply flee? Sickness. Disease as a result of fear. There are so many things coming against me and my family right now. I can understand this fear 100%. The most demonic kind of creepy stuff you can ever imagine. And there's nothing we can do about it except just walk through it and have faith in God. When you are sitting there at the edge of the cliff with a pack of wolves coming at you, all you can do is do what David did. Our lives have valid things for us to fear. Fear of a job, fear of our possessions, fear of health, fear of family, people coming against you. How do we deal with our fear? Let's go to Psalms 55, 16 through 18. Psalms chapter 55, 16 through 18. Who's got it?
Got it.
Go ahead.
As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me.
Amen.
There were many against me.
Amen. But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night I will cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me. Note that the battle waged against David. God didn't stop the battle. It still roared on around him. Saul hunted him relentlessly. God doesn't always change our circumstances. We may pray that he heal our cancer. We may pray that he delivers us from bankruptcy. We may pray that he protects us from harm during a horrible, horrible trial. But you know what? God doesn't always do that. So how can we, crying out to him all day, help us with our fears? Because it reminds us that we can trust God and his never-failing love and character, even if he doesn't change our circumstances. I was on the phone with Mary Jo today. She called me at the office, asked me how everything was going. And she told me something. She said, God does not change circumstances all of the time. He wants you to go through it. You're getting spanked. God allows you to go through stuff to change your character. But check out what David goes on to say. Psalms 55, verse 22 this time. Who's got verse 22 in the 55?
Cast your care on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
Amen.
He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you.
Amen. Amen. Baby, thank you. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Though David's words seem contradictory, the truth is that even when we do slip and fall, God is still faithful to us. We trust in his care, even when that care doesn't deliver us from our difficulties. Sometimes I get so upset and I cry out to God, why aren't you delivering me from this demonic trial I'm going through? Why are you making me go through this? Because he wants us to learn to have faith in God. We have to have faith like David. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. We have a choice about how to handle our fear. We can let it paralyze us. And a lot of people do. I know people in the church that are paralyzed by fear. I know a woman in the church right now. She's middle-aged. She has a weird situation where she lives at. She is paralyzed by fear. Every time I go over there to figure out what's going on, I don't see anything. She is paralyzed by fear. Satan always uses what you fear the most to come after you and stick it to you. Everybody has fears. Everybody has things that are going on in their life. Maybe if you're a young girl and you're pretty and you're in high school, you fear about your reputation. You know? Maybe if you're a single mom and you're trying to take care of your kids, you fear about something your boss is going to find out at work. You know, if you're like me and Jim, you know, Satan likes to play with our financial security. He likes to play with taking care of your family, being a man. You know, one thing I learned about is there are very few men of integrity that walk the earth today. I'm talking about the kind of men that take care of their family, even though they may not deserve it, they may be ungrateful, or even though they may despise you. I'm talking about men who pay the bills even though they're despised. I'm talking about men who walk the walk and tell the truth, even when they're angered. Men of integrity are hard to find because you know what? They don't get no big banner in front of them when they're walking through the mall. Nobody knows men of integrity. But based upon, like, for instance, this trial that I've been going through this last year, I cannot believe how many cheaters, liars, brigands, con men that walk the earth today, all looking for an easy buck. You got half of the population on antidepressants. You got people paralyzed with fear, so sick that their stomach aches because they allow Satan to influence their lives. The one thing that you're fearful of, the one thing Satan knows about, is the one thing he will use against you to keep you in fear. He knows that my worst fear, if you can imagine, if you know anything about my past, is being attacked by a wild animal. I am in fear that my children will be attacked by my dog. I see their faces crying out. And, you know, Satan uses that against me. Am I paralyzed by it? No. But it's just a fear. You know, we can let it paralyze us, or we can surrender what we cannot control to God and decide to move forward in faith, camping on the certainty that no matter what happens, God loves us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Apostle Paul wrote something amazing. Apostle Paul wrote this. Romans 8:38. Who's got it?
I got it.
Okay.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our
Lord. Amen. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Angels, not demons, fears for today, or worries about uncertainties can separate us from God's love. Trusting the Lord means looking beyond what we could see to what God sees. We cannot, you know, have this worry of uncertainty or of the unknown. We've got to put our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know, 1 through 54 is the basis of all this David stuff that's amazing. But the secret of David's success was his ability to trust and obey God. You know, I'm going to go over four things that we have to do. One, when you're going through a difficult time, when you're fearful and you're living in fear, the first thing you need to do is recall your past victories. I remember going down to California to visit my mom. We had $700 in the bank. And I was waiting on this big deal. I was going to sell my entire portfolio of domain names for like 14 grand. By today's prices, they're worth millions. And we couldn't understand why this guy wouldn't keep his word and just pay us. And he played with us and played with us and played with us and met with me and would write me a check that was bad and just buying all this time. And I went out to the middle of a field in Gilroy, California, middle of the farming community. The sky was clear. Jamel was in the car and we were crying because we were broke and we were at the end of our rope. And at that moment in time, at that very moment in time, that was the most fearful moment of my life. I was scared to death. How was I going to take care of this girl that I just met and I fell in love with? I knew I was going to marry her right after I met her. It was it. It filled in all of the missing links. I knew she was the one. How was I going to take care of her? How was I going to pay her way? How was I going to provide for her? I didn't have any money. What kind of loser was I? I was scared to death. So recall your past victories. I look back on that now, and that was the stupidest night of my life. God not only pulled me out of that, but I made so much money off of those domain names. And after that, there were more trials and more fears and more things that would come up. And every time Satan would come up with something, it looked like the tallest statue of the world. It looked like the Goliath was unbeatable. I mean, it looked like I could not survive this one. I would call Brennan up. Okay, this is it. We're going down now. This is what happened. And every single time, God would pull us out of it. So recall your past victories. What triumphs did David remember? How did these victories give him confidence against Goliath? Tonight, before you go to bed, start listing your victories. You know, I can list victories for everyone in this room because you have been coming here for so many years. I know each one of you. I know all of the trials we prayed for. I know all of the crises you went through. Jim, you've been through bigger crises. We made it. Brendan, you've been through bigger crises. You made it and came out on top. Miss, I don't even want to repeat some of the stuff, honey, we prayed for you. And you come out on top. Me and my wife have prayed through so much stuff. I remember when Satan threw that. I came into the hospital worried we were going to go find the sex of my second kid. We didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And the lady's looking at the screen weird. And here comes a doctor, then another doctor, then another doctor, then another doctor. They wouldn't tell us what was wrong. What's going on? We started getting scared. Finally, some guy says, well, your son's got two holes in his brain that's indicative of mental retardation. So we're going to send you to Swedish and you can meet with the state. And they're going to
Children's.
You can meet with the state and they're going to tell you what's wrong with your kid. They're going to tell you, you know, what kind of life he's going to expect, and what state programs will help you pay for your retarded child. And so we're devastated. We are devastated. It's like, oh my gosh, I get rid of the booze, I get rid of the weed, I get rid of my nasty friends, I start coming to church, I think I got saved, I start doing the Christian thing, you know, I start cutting corners and doing things for Christ, and now this is the big reward I get as a mentally retarded kid. And I tell, you know, Mary Jo this, and I tell Pastor Lau and Da, and they're like, no, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And it was revival night, and we prayed. We prayed. We prayed in care group. We prayed at the church. We prayed in the evening. And then, so we get to Children's, and here comes this woman with a crew cut, a big book, State of Washington book, going to tell us all the programs. You know what I mean? Well, first we need to go get another ultrasound to see the severity of the retardation. Like, great. There's levels. Great. Let's find out the level, you know? What's your name again? Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-R. Huh. Gets up and he comes back. He goes, yeah, your son's normal. I don't know what they're seeing, but this brain is a normal brain. And he took a x-ray of it and the holes were gone.
Wow.
That's when I started pushing in. That's when I said, you know what? This Jesus thing is real. That's a past victory.
Yeah.
Number two, let's reject discouraging words. No one from the Israelite camp encouraged David to go out there and meet Goliath. Matter of fact, they were mocking him and making fun of him, and he couldn't even fit in the king's armor. You know, here's the people that told him not to go. His brother Eliab, King Saul himself, even Goliath heckled him. Because all of them saw a young, inexperienced man instead of someone God could have worked through, because they looked at David from man's perspective instead of the Lord's. Reject discouraging words. How many people do you know that you meet in life, that you hang around with, that are discouraging? I could name names right now, but I'm not. But I do not like people that have discouraging words anymore.
Even David's family discouraged him.
That's right. Even David's family discouraged him.
When Samuel came to choose the next king, he said, let me see your sons.
Right.
And he lined up all the sons. It's like, nope, this is not the one. Do you have any more? Oh, yeah, just David, the little one out in the field.
Just out in the field.
They didn't even mention they had another son because they knew it wouldn't be David. Reject.
His dad dissed him.
Yeah.
What was
Man.
His dad, Jesse, right?
Yeah.
Reject discouraging words. Don't listen to people's discouraging words. I have been the recipient of discouraging words my entire life. I remember the day perfectly when my eighth grade counselor said, you know what, Phil? We don't want you to come back at Chugach next year. You're not cut out for school. And I never returned to school. I'd go and get a job, there'd be discouraging words. I'd go and apply for some license, there'd be discouraging words. I'd work hard and be a success, everybody thought I was a drug dealer. I remember when I got my license in Oregon and I started to make like tons and tons of money. And I was 20. I wasn't even old enough to drink yet. And I was, no, I was 22. I had saved up, like, at the time was a lot of money, like 30 grand. And I put it down on a 1994 white Hummer because Arnold Schwarzenegger was driving one and I couldn't afford one because they were so expensive. So I called all around the United States and I found one beat up one. Some guy like, well, we beat up the truck bad, but, you know, I mean, I'll sell it to you for like 35 grand. So I flew to St. Louis and got this thing and drove it back. And everybody thought I was a drug dealer. So avoid discouraging words. If people have bad things to say, negative things to say, you know who I'm talking about. There are many people in my life that I know, the first second they hit you, oh, wow, I can't believe you did that. Or, I can't believe you did this. Or, why do you dress your kids like that? You know, just reject. Just get rid of discouraging words. I am so not happy that Jamel's leaving. Because now I have to dress them and take them to school. Remember, oh, that's right, they're out of school. Amen. But I got to take them to birthdays, and I got to take them to games and football and soccer and parties and Halloween and speech and all this stuff. But they have to be dressed properly. Amen.
Anytime Tanita goes out of town, my family always says, the kids look much more homeless when she's not around.
Well, Brendan, it gets a lot worse when they get like 7, 8, 9 years old, you know?
What gets worse?
No, it gets easier.
Dressing kids.
You know, kids dress themselves.
Yeah, but you don't know. Sometimes Lexi comes in the back room in the morning and, like, Mama, how's this? And it'll be like camouflage tights and a blue t-shirt. I mean, this doesn't look good. So as this story demonstrates, some of our worst opposition and discouragement may come from those who should be on our side, such as family members or fellow believers. So reject discouraging words and keep your faith and your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
There's four. That's number two. Here's number three. Recognize the true nature of the conflict. Whatever adversary you face, whatever fear that you face, whatever trial that you're going through, however hard that it rains, the real enemy is Satan. Satan wants to defeat you and discourage you and keep you from serving God. And he pops demons into the minds of the weak, the mentally ill, and individuals filled with anger to use them against you as puppets. The reason why Jesus called the one they couldn't pray legion was because there are millions of them and they work together as a team. We're going to bring this guy down. I need 50 of you to go pop into these puppets and we're going to get him. I feel so sorry. You know, I get encouragement. It seems like I am under attack the more that I really press in and try to serve God. And now that I started this ministry on Thursday night, God's ministry, I feel like I'm just under attack like no other. I get encouragement by going and Googling Joyce Meyer. There is a woman that is under some demonic attack. Whoa, like I cannot even believe the stuff these little puppets say about her. It's bad. I don't have any problems. That girl has problems. And God is still using her to reach millions and millions of people. Recognize the true nature of the conflict. Certainly you have a responsibility to address, you know, your situation. But remember that behind each challenge is spiritual war. While you seek medical treatment, you might also need to wage a spiritual battle against discouragement and fear. So let me ask each one of you, okay? This is like a little test. Starting with Jamel. What do you think the Father wants his children to remember in the midst of conflict?
That he loves them and he's with them.
Amen. Bebe? What do you think God wants us to remember when you're in the midst of a battle, in the midst of conflict?
I will try my best, and I know that He loves me.
Amen. So the fourth thing we need to do is to respond to the challenge with a positive declaration of faith. And this is what God is teaching me in this trial that I'm going through, is to love my enemies and respond to them with a positive declaration of faith. Amen? David asked the fearless Israelites, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" To Saul, David said, "The Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." When Goliath was ridiculing David, he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." David firmly declared his belief. He wouldn't lose because God Almighty was with him. The scriptures are full of promises for guidance. They're out there if you seek them. Don't live in fear. Don't live a persecuted life. Don't let fear affect your life, your health, your worry, your concern. Don't let uncertainties rule the night. Have faith in God and remember your past victories. Amen? Remember to reject discouraging words. Remember to recognize who the true enemy is. Let's look at some of these scriptures. Let's go to Psalms. Chapter 32, verse 8. Psalms 32, verse 8. Go ahead.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the whore. Is that it? Just 8.
Yeah. Let's go to Psalms 16:9. You know what? Bebe, you get Psalms 16:9.
Okay.
Rosemate, get Psalms 43:4. Chiku, get Exodus 20:6. Missa, get 1 Peter 5:6-7. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Jim, get John 16:33. These are the scriptures that are filled with promises that you need to recite over and over and over again to yourself. Your faith will grow, and so will your peace. And soon the problem will seem so small, because you're relying on the power of God. David knew it wasn't his own reputation on the line. He also knew it was not his strength that should win the battle. Glory and victory belongs to the Lord. Amen? So let's go over these scriptures. Okay, go ahead, Bebe, first.
"Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure."
Amen. Rosemary?
Okay. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God my God.
Amen. Cheeks?
26, you said?
Yep.
But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Amen. Missa?
5, 6, and 7.
1 Peter 5:6-7. Amen. Cast your worries and concerns onto God so He could cover you with His power and glory. Amen. Jim?
This is John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have distress, but have confidence. I have overcome the world."
Amen. In the world you have distress, but believe in me, because I have overcome the world. Amen. John 15:5 says, "He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." In other words, we can do nothing of spiritual value unless we depend on Christ to to work through us. We have really got to put it on the line. What would it look like for you if you rely on Jesus in your present trials? Can you imagine how joyful you're going to feel, how peaceful you're going to feel, knowing that he's there? Every challenge presents an opportunity for the Father to display his faithfulness and love. Instead of yielding to thoughts of fear and failure, instead of yielding in to sleepless nights, instead of yielding in to all this horrible tragedy that Satan throws on our life, using all of your weaknesses, all of your insecurities, and all of your doubt, make a commitment to trust Jesus Christ, even when you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Amen? Yes, you may experience failure, and life may not always turn out as you planned, but ultimately, God will be glorified, and you will be blessed. So let's end this Bible study with this scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Take your burdens to the Lord in prayer, you guys. Thank him for working on your behalf and rest in his supernatural peace. When you place your trust in him, you tap into an unstoppable supernatural force that is so powerful that nothing the enemy can bring to will successfully oppose it. Amen? Did you guys get this? Do you understand? Okay, in other words, you have to really rely on him.
Yes.
Amen. So let's go ahead and do prayer requests. Jim will